Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to today's podcast, The Attack of the Millennials. There's not really a precise definition of what a millennial is. This term is from the world of sociology, and you know, the ideas of labeling generations has been around. And usually there are several terms for a generation, but over time, one term wins out. And millennials certainly has won out, just as others have. You know, for example, the World War II generation is now known as the greatest generation. The boomers followed them, and their children were called the Gen Xers. So loosely, the birth years for the millennials would be the early 1980s to about 2006. But this is a podcast about casino and casino cultures. And so for our purposes, we're discussing millennials who are now 21 years of age. Otherwise, they can't go into a casino. And that would run to about age 35. These are the people that are creating change in the industry. And to our own demographic reports show that our podcast are listened to by nearly 50% of our listeners who are under the age of 35. Hey, who knew? Generally speaking, in sociological circles, a generation runs 25 or 30 years. In that time period, people marry and reproduce, or should I say reproduce and maybe marry. I want to be very honest about this episode. Listen, when sociologists take a large group of people and define them with a very broad brush, there are certainly going to be people in that group who do not fit the description that is given to the group. Over the past few years, I've interviewed about 100 millennials to work for me, and I hired 10 of them. They're not all the same. The 10 that I hired had a strong work ethic, more like boomers that I know. But in many ways, they are also millennials. Millennials are not as work-centric as their parents and their grandparents. And millennials demand a workplace where they can work and play at the same time, if that's at all possible. And I agree with some of the changes that they wanted to be made in the workplace. Millennials have helped us enjoy the workplace more than ever. And as a group, they have a more healthy balance between work and play. Speaking for myself, much more than I did at their age. Looking back, I often took work way too seriously. Yes, it paid off for me, but I missed a lot of enjoyment of being young and enjoying my family because my focus was on work. How many of us boomers were great providers, but did not give our families as much time as we should have? Take my word for it, a ton of us boomers lived that life. So I appreciate that this is a generation that has a balance, a healthy balance. And it's possible to describe the traits, their strong and weak points, their values. In the world of marketing, and this world has been good to my family, the companies that get this right and align their businesses to the wants, desires, and whims of the largest population group in American society will have a better bottom line than the companies that refuse to change. And the casino industry is not different. Why is this true? Because there are more millennials living today than any other single generation. They are a force, and for that reason, we titled this episode, Attack of the Millennials. Members of the millennial generation are often called digital natives. They've grown up with technology, and they find it very hard not to be connected with technology. In fact, the more advanced and powerful the technology, the more they want it. And they'll make sacrifices in life, but not with their technology. Marcus Yoder, the vice president of Gambit Gaming, a California gaming company, explains that millennials find slot machines boring, despite the powerful graphics of today's slot machines. Yoder said that just pushing a button is not interesting to them. Slot machines are anything but a social experience, and there is little or no skill associated with playing them. According to the American Gaming Association, young people between the ages of 21 and 35, they do go to casinos, as much as any other age group. But only 2% of them play slot machines. Slot machines are the cash cow for casinos. So casino managers are so aware that something has to be done. Andre Barnabé, the vice president of slot operations right here in Pittsburgh at the Rivers Casino, explains that he is looking at the digital tabletop games that involve a strong social component and a new generation of virtual table games of all kinds. Most casinos still do not want patrons to take out their phones while they are playing, but more and more millennials are challenging this. It is common now to see people taking pictures of one another while they're playing, and often the dealers just let it go. You know, one dealer told me that she's just tired of fighting it. Nelson Rose, a professor at Whittier Law School, who has a blog about what's trending in the casino business, I quote him. He says, "Millennials like good food and music, so casino bars and restaurants are filled, but the gaming floor is often empty." Unquote. Mr. Rose suggests that casinos have to bring the casino floor to the millennials. And we hear that in some West Coast casinos, they've taken this literally, giving millennial players portable devices that function as slot machines, so that a player can be with his friends in the sports lounge and play for real on the iPad-sized device on his lap. Many casinos, if not all casinos, have created party pits where table limits are low, drink prices are reduced, and millennial music is playing, not boomer music. Steve Wynn was one of the first to see this, and he made a pile of money from millennials from his nightclubs, which became packed. But party pits are not clubs. They're on the casino floor. I've been to these party pits with my Casino USA pals because they were seeking lower table limits. And I see more and more millennials playing table games. But the socializing is just as important as the playing, and it's a challenge for me at times to see them as serious gamblers. I have met some, though, who really want to get good at table games, but millennials most often come to casinos in groups, and they come to party first, drinking and dancing, and maybe they'll gamble a bit, or maybe not. Maybe it's a short attention span, but so often I see millennials come to the tables and stay no longer than 15 minutes. Yet maybe it's because they refuse to lose very much money, and if they do not have early success at a table, they pull out. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're smart. There is so much research regarding this generation. There's actually an ongoing research survey done at UCLA. They call it their freshman survey, and they've been doing it for a long time. And one of the recent trends is a lessening of the importance of a philosophy of life and approach. For example, the greatest generation was very judgmental and had a narrow view of how one should live their life. Millennials are freer in their thinking and are quick to break the older social norms in our society. They have fewer inhibitions regarding lifestyle choices and behavior, but their egos are not often a reliable compass by which to live their lives. A biting criticism of millennials is that they're more narcissistic than any other generation. More narcissistic. Las Vegas does more than hint at sexual freedom in its marketing, and it suggests that whatever you want to do here is okay. Whatever you do here will stay here. Las Vegas marketing pushes sexual freedom. Well, hang on, that's not so true. Prostitution is not legal on the Las Vegas Strip or on Fremont Street downtown, regardless of what you think. Today's millennials often do embrace a hookup culture where sex is more about lust and love. In fact, this narcissistic idea that, hey, I can do whatever I want because I want to do it, is more associated, to be honest, with adolescence than adulthood. And that's a big criticism of millennials that I agree with. Traditional adulthood judgment seems to be pushed back to the late 20s or even the early 30s with many millennials. They are often too ready to extend adolescence and sometimes put off, you know, what we call adult responsibility to a time much later in life than their own parents did. Still, it's my belief that when today's millennials have their own children, the practice of socializing and drinking several nights a week will come to an end. How many young parents give up the club scene and find themselves developing friendships with other parents who have children? Hey, even their children's friends. I bet many, many do. That's just how life works. For many millennials, working late at the office might just be around the corner, so be prepared. It could be. For most, the day will come when those trips to Las Vegas will be replaced with more traditional family vacations. And I'm thinking here, amusement parks and beaches. Suddenly, Mickey Mouse and Disney princesses are more important than the hip-hop DJs and club scene. But please do not take this the wrong way. Las Vegas continues to thrive. And in fact, nearly all the casinos across the 40 states that have legalized gambling in this country are making money. Atlantic City is the exception, and casino failure is much more common there. Las Vegas Travel and Visitors Authority did a comprehensive three-year report on tourism, and it reports that the typical Las Vegas visitor is now 40 years old. 40 years old. And the average age is coming down. Millennials are coming to Vegas. Just 3 years ago, the average age of visitors was 47. But these younger tourists are not coming to Las Vegas to gamble. Only 10% of the visitors list gambling as a reason for their trip. But 75% of those visitors say they gambled a little bit when they were there, easily a few hands of blackjack or maybe $20 in a slot machine. These reluctant gamblers, they did it. Noting that there are casinos in 40 states, as I mentioned, many millennials do not have the same income, the income to fly to Vegas every month. So the casinos near their home are making progress with this large demographic group also. Casino managers are doing what they can do to make it easier to socialize, dance, and drink on casino property. I believe that the game of craps, in either the traditional form or maybe the new digital arena style, absent of computer chips, of course, I mean, dice are actually going to be rolled somewhere. I think craps has a future because it's such a social game. People yell, scream, laugh, and talk with one another. In fact, that kind of behavior is encouraged by the casino. If you want to spend hours alone with total focus on a gambling game, try sitting in a casino poker lounge for an afternoon. I often feel that I'm at a monastery when I'm playing poker in a casino lounge. And for that reason, I find myself more and more hitting the pie-gal table or the back of a table when I want to play a card game. Now, I've been leaving my poker playing to home games where I can talk and listen to my friends. I'm sort of like a little like a millennial. The atmosphere of a poker lounge truthfully seems anal retentive to me, and increasingly I've been avoiding playing cards at a casino. But back to the topic. I think every generation has its challenges. I agree that the greatest generation of World War II had more challenges than my boomer generation. After all, they were born during the Great Depression and gave us years of their youth fighting in a world war or making great sacrifices at home. In fact, they were a generation of sacrifice, and their sacrifice saved our way of life. In the end, it's my belief that the millennials will be fine. The only thing that I cannot embrace about millennials is, as a generation, they have moved away from religion. And in many ways, our culture is becoming increasingly secular. That's a personal thing with me that has little to do with casino culture, but it's the one thing I worry about more than anything else regarding millennials. Church attendance is way down in the United States, and as I mentioned, we're becoming so secularized. Still, remember, there are many of us around who embrace the faith of our childhoods. And maybe churches have to do more to adapt to the millennials, just the way casinos are doing. For their part, casinos are making an ongoing adjustment to introduce and maintain this generation in terms of casino attendance. And they will most likely do this by upping their technology, making gambling more social and attractive. Certainly, skill-based slot machines are here, and digital gambling in the arena sense in table games will increase. So the older boomer music will be heard less frequently as the millennials make their presence increasingly felt. And that improves the bottom line. So be it. As Dylan said, the times truly are changing. And after all, there are more millennials than any other age group. So as Mick Jagger sang with the Rolling Stones, time is on my side. Yes, it is. So true for the millennials now, and not very true for boomers anymore. Now let's prepare for Las Vegas deals in winter. Janie and I have spent many days and nights on the Las Vegas Strip during the months of December, January, and February. Hey, I know that many tourists go to Vegas for fun in the sun, but coming from the east during these winter months, it's a nice break from winter. The weather is usually above freezing, especially during the daytime, and often the temperature climbs into the high 40s, even the 50s. Hotel prices 6 or so days before Christmas are often the lowest of the year. If you do miss the swimming, the Rio has a small heated outdoor pool that stays open. Just check with the hotel to be sure that it's not closed for repairs. Also, during these winter months, it is much easier to walk for a longer distance on this trip. Not fighting temperatures, those summer temperatures of 100 degrees plus. These 3 years ago, we were staying on this trip during Christmas week, and the temperature was in the 60s each afternoon. I recall walking from the Encore on the strip to Treasure Island to have lunch at Gilly's, and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I felt great. One caution, the National Bull Riding Finals are in Vegas the first 10 days of December 2016, so do not expect any room discounts or monetary breaks during this event. Otherwise, the rest of December is looking good for discounts. Many advisors suggest using bundles, you know, putting airfare and hotel together. But Janie and I have had better luck just dealing with the hotels directly and also the airlines directly. For one thing, in dealing with hotels, we can use player points in most places. Right here in Pittsburgh, the airlines out of Pittsburgh International are in a fare battle right now with flights to Las Vegas. I want to suggest to all of our listeners to go to our Facebook page or pages, Casinos USA, written as two words. You have to request to join, but we will accept you immediately. Nearly all the strip hotels send us their room promotions, and we post them on Facebook pages every day. We had to make this group requirement to be accepted because we were flooded with posts in foreign languages. We had no idea what they were saying, and we feared that some of these foreign posts may be un-American. So we simply blocked them and asked them via email to post in English. So that's why we made the pages such that a new member has to be request to join so that we can see they communicate in English. Also, if you join our group, then you have freedom to post information regarding casinos in your area. Whatever you find that's good and can help everyone. Include flight deals if you find some good ones too. Recently recorded a phone call with Casinos US team member Jill Nicole, who lives in Nevada, and she wants us to talk about flying out of Pittsburgh or just flying out of the East in general. Here she is.
I know it's always a hassle when we think about going to Vegas, trying to think about the cost of flying, but it seems as if Southwest Airlines has some amazing prices for flyers to Vegas in February. Here's Jill with the information.
Yes, Southwest is offering quite a deal. Flights to Vegas at $102, and that's not a nonstop. That's with one stop but no real layover. And nonstops are going at $166. Southwest is awesome as far as I'm concerned because they allow two checked baggage without extra cost and no fees on two carry-ons. So it's definitely the way to go. February is the coldest month in Las Vegas, but the casinos are nice and warm. So book early.
Now let's move to the final segment of Episode 8. And we're talking about absolutely crazy bets that you can make in craps. And sometimes they hit. Today's craps bet, it's crazy. It's called chasing the 2 or the 12. Remember our math nerd friends who tell us that a 12 or 2 should be rolled maybe once every 36 rolls? Well, say you're at a table and say a 12 has not rolled in at least 45 or 50 rolls. Do you believe that it's due? Do you believe that a 2 or 12 is due? Or do you believe that no number is ever due because dice have no memory and what is rolled last roll or several rolls ago has nothing to do with what the next number will be? Well, if you still believe that a 12 will be rolled soon, despite that put down by your thinking smart players around you who say that any number is never due, if you still believe that 2 or 12 is due, then consider starting this betting sequence. Remember that the bet pays $30 for each dollar bet. All right, so you put $1 on the 12. Your total bet's $1. You lose. You put $2 on the 12. Your total bet after you lose this one is $3. You invested $3. No luck yet. The third roll, you put $3 on the 12, and now you've had $6 invested. The fourth roll, you put $4 on the 12, and now you have $10 invested. The fifth roll, you have $5 on the 12, and now your total investment is $15, but you lose again. The sixth roll, $6 on the 12, and now you have $21 invested. On the seventh roll, you put $7 on the 12, and now you have $28 invested. Oh, come on, 12. On the eighth roll, you have $8 on the 12, and now you have $36 invested. The ninth roll, you have no luck. 12 doesn't hit. So you go, you got $45 invested. I'll go one more time. On the 10th roll, you put $10 on the 12, and it hits. It hits. It hits. So you're paid $300, and you've invested $55 after 10 rolls. So subtract $55 from $300, and you have a total game of $245. Oh, my goodness. How long do you keep these rolls going? Well, that's all up to you and how much money you want to invest in this crazy chase. I hit this bet twice in my life, once on roll 9 and once on roll 12. I was planning on going 15 rolls before giving up the chase. It's a crazy, insane betting scheme, but when it works, it's really sweet. Decide to bet this crazy bet, I suggest you stand right by the stick man, because if he if you're throwing that money down the table, they might call the insane asylum to come and get you. But boy, can you have a big smile on your face when you win several hundred dollars chasing the 12 or chasing the deuce. That's all up to you. We thank all of you for your support, and we'll see you again on December 22nd.
Hey, every day is Saturday.